KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy, windy, and 29 degrees here in Atlantic. We look for it to be continued cloudy and windy today, with winds out of the north at 15 to 30 miles per hour. Temperatures right around 30 degrees, give or take a degree or two. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Iowa Western Community College in Clarinda recently showed off its Center of Excellence for Advanced Manufacturing during recent Manufacturing Day tours for area high school students. The SEAM program partners with area manufacturers to provide hands-on training focused on industry needs with scholarship money and other financial support, enabling Southwest Iowa residents to jumpstart their careers in the skilled trades. Students from Council Bluffs, Clarinda, and South Page toured Iowa Western's Clarinda Center and nearby Lyle Corporation, a 115-year-old specialty tool manufacturer in Clarinda. Lyle Corp is part of a consortium of four area manufacturers looking to grow a workforce in Southwest Iowa for workers interested in high-paying, quality careers. SEAM brings together Lyle Corporation, NSK AKS Precision Ball Company, and NSK Corporation in Clarinda, along with Mala Engine Components USA of Atlantic, as partners to grow the available workforce and provide additional training for those companies' employees. SEAM offers a two-year non-credit certificate program that's primarily hands-on and focused on industry needs. The program is open to 15 students each year, with 12 slots earmarked for employees of partnering businesses. After core classes for their first year, students choose either an electromechanical or a tool and die track for their second year. The field trip allowed the high schoolers to see an alternative pathway to education after high school, one that's hands-on and focuses on career skills that are immediately applicable. At least two phone scams are making the rounds in the KJAN listening area. The Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce reports someone claiming to be from Atlantic Municipal Utilities, or AMU, is calling businesses in town and saying that the business is past due for September and October. They want you to make a payment over the phone or threaten that you'll be disconnected. That is a scam. AMU has been contacted and is aware of the issue. If you have any questions about your bill, call AMU directly. And the Clarinda Police Department said they received numerous calls Friday from local residents as well as residents from other numerous states. Chief Keith Brothers says the Clarinda Police Department's business number, 712-542-2194, is being ghosted as part of a scam where a caller identifies himself as a member of the Clarinda Police Department and that they have a grandson, granddaughter, or other young relative under arrest and the bail money is needed. That, too, is a scam. And Brothers said, do not send any money. You should just hang up on him, because the Clarinda Police Department does not conduct business in that manner. World War I was supposed to be the war to end all wars. An armistice was signed November 11, 1918. The presentation to mark the centennial will be given tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the American Legion Building here in Atlantic. Dr. John Mark Nielsen, Executive Director Emeritus of the Museum of Danish America, will give the presentation. He'll provide a brief overview of World War I and describe his grandfather's participation in the American Expeditionary Force. He'll also suggest how the war to end all wars impacts our world today. More than 114,200 Iowans served in World War I. Nearly 1,000 were from Cass County and many more from neighboring communities. Seven women from Atlantic are known to have served in WW1. The first woman to die of combat injuries was from Davenport. She was serving in a canteen. One of the first soldiers killed was from Iowa, Merle Hay. The program is provided by the Atlantic Rock Island Society Enterprise, or ARISE. The Military Museum, Military Library, and Atlantic History Center will be open for viewing on Sunday. Refreshments will include beverages and donuts. There is no fee, but of course they welcome your donations. Additional programs at the Armory are scheduled for January through May of next year. You can request a tour or use of meeting space there by calling 712-243-5445 and see additional information on the website or Facebook. Just search for ARISE Atlantic Iowa. The Wild Rose Casino in Jefferson will pay a $10,000 fine for an accounting error. The administrator of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, Brian Orilko, says that the problem involved free plays given to casino customers.
Gambling activity that is awarded to patrons for free, that is taxed in the state of Iowa up to a certain dollar amount.
Orilko says the Wild Rose made a mistake in figuring the amount of free plays that were subject to taxes.
The effect was that it caused the threshold for promotional play receipts and that tax credit to be reached prematurely by all of the casinos in the state of Iowa.
Orilko says that led to issues for every state-licensed casino.
Even though the total dollar amount erroneously reported only amounted to about $33,000, it impacted the other 18 casino licensees, and that the state had to go back and collect gaming tax for each of those casinos.
The Racing and Gaming Commission approved the fine at their meeting on Thursday. The Iowa Supreme Court has ruled that falls at work caused by medical conditions can't automatically be ruled out for workers' compensation claims. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
38-year-old Jason Blummel was injured when he had a seizure and fell on the tile floor while working as a shift manager at the Long John Silver's in Council Bluffs in 2012. A workforce compensation commissioner ruled the fall was idiopathic or related to a medical condition, and Blummel was not due compensation. The Iowa Supreme Court ruling says there's no blanket rule for such workplace falls so long as the employee proves that a condition of their employment increased the risk of injury. Justice Thomas Waterman disagreed with the majority opinion. He says it's undisputed that Blummel's seizure was unrelated to his working conditions. Waterman says it could result in a costly payout that would eviscerate that section of the law. I'm Dar Danielson.
DuPont has agreed to repay Iowa $10.5 million in incentives it received. The news of the settlement comes a year after the company announced it was seeking a buyer for its 30-million-gallon $400 million cellulosic ethanol plant in central Iowa. The Des Moines Register reports the settlement repays all but the $3.7 million it received in incentives in 2011 for the plant in Nevada. The plant made ethanol from corn cobs, stalks, and other crop residue before closing last year and laying off 90 workers. DuPont says it's selling the plant to Verbio North America of Michigan, which plans to invest $35 million to make renewable natural gas from corn stover at the plant, which is a first for the state. The Iowa Economic Development Authority Board agreed Friday to provide $1.78 million in tax credits to Verbio, which plans to create 44 high-wage jobs. Developers of three Northeast Iowa wind turbine towers have lost another round in their battle to keep them up or rebuild them. A three-judge Iowa Supreme Court panel rejected the developers' appeal on Wednesday. The justices let stand a July 11th decision by their colleague, Justice David Wiggins, to affirm a district court's decision. The 450-foot-tall towers were erected in 2015 just east of Fairbank. They drew opposition from housing developers and neighboring homeowners who believe the towers would be detrimental to the city. Fairbank City Council members filed a lawsuit that said Fayette County issued construction permits without following zoning ordinances. The developers have been taking down the turbines under a court-ordered deadline of December 9th. Elsewhere in the news, officials of the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said yesterday an inmate serving time in the Pott County Jail for second-degree theft was served this past Tuesday with a warrant out of Douglas County, Nebraska. 28-year-old Richard Paul Steckenfinger of Omaha was presented with a warrant for being a fugitive from justice. He was then returned to the custody of corrections staff. Bond on the theft charge was set at $5,000. Steckenfinger was also being held without bond on the fugitive warrant. A man being held in the Pott County Jail for probation violation and for placement in a residential corrections facility was presented with a warrant Thursday for violation of probation. 20-year-old Darius Jevian Hudson of Council Bluffs was then returned to his cell. Bond for the second probation violation was set at $10,000. And on Thursday, a traffic stop on the Iowa State Patrol resulted in the arrest of 24-year-old Nicholas Daniel Anderson of Omaha. Anderson was transported to Pott County Jail by a sheriff's deputy in connection with a Pott County warrant. He was booked into the jail on that warrant. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.